You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Americans for Truth Hour. We're sitting here on June 27th, 2013, reeling from this awful decision by the Supreme Court, striking down DOMA and throwing back the Prop 8 of California, basically negating the will of the people of California to define marriages between one man and one woman. We've got lots to talk about. Maybe we'll have to save some to a future show. I attended the Restored Hope Network conference in Oklahoma City. That's the new ex-gay group that's replacing Exodus International, which fell under the leadership or the failed leadership of Alan Chambers. But we're fortunate to have on the line here my good friend Matt Barber of Liberty Council Action. Matt, are you on the line?
I am.
Matt, hey, quickly give us your credentials again.
I'm vice president of Liberty Council Action, an attorney concentrating in constitutional law.
And you're also the director of, or the political director of executive Liberty Council Action?
Director of the cultural issues with Liberty Council proper.
Okay. Yeah, it's hard to get all the names straight, but the long and short of it is Matt's a troublemaker, and he wears lots of hats, and he has a great column for WorldNet Daily that comes out every week. Matt, quickly, since we've only got two 15-minute segments with you, or 30 minutes, give me your first, after reading the decision yesterday by the Supreme Court, give me your thoughts.
Well, it's, as Justice Scalia so eloquently pointed out, it's absolutely off the chart absurd. I mean, this is the epitome of judicial activism on display. You know, Thomas Jefferson warned that if we ever got to the point where the judiciary is gets away from its very narrow task of strictly interpreting the Constitution and starts legislating from the bench, essentially, then it becomes an oligarchy. We have now, really, five black-robed autocrats. There are four justices that some people say they're the conservative justices. No, they're the justices that recognize their proper role and the separation of powers and the crucial element of judicial restraint that is inherent within the role of the United States Supreme Court. Justice Kennedy just threw that completely to the wind and has apparently adopted, you know, the living, breathing view of the Constitution that it is whatever the judges say it is based upon the changing cultural whims of the day, and that's exactly what we see on display here. It is absolutely mind-boggling that same-sex marriage, so-called, something that central to, you know, this what I call mock marriages, central to so-called same-sex marriage is homosexual behavior, homosexuality, something that at the time of our founding and for hundreds of years after, well over 200 years after our founding, you know, was considered in all the colonies and throughout the states as a crime against nature. That our founders could have even conceptualized the ridiculous and oxymoronic idea that a man can marry a man or a woman can marry a woman is mind-boggling, but that they would have somehow thought it was a fundamental constitutional right and that equal protection, which is the argument that Kennedy put forward in striking down Section 3 of DOMA, that somehow equal protection requires that two men or two women are allowed to enter into a government-sanctioned relationship built upon a crime against nature. It is absolutely mind-boggling. We are living in an alternate universe, and this is not the America envisioned by our founding fathers. We have moved from a constitutional republic to a banana republic.
Now, Matt, this is, I read the decision last night by Kennedy. Kennedy was appointed by Ronald Reagan, remember, And it's just striking. Two things really jumped out at me, same to Scalia, of course. One is how he impugns the motives of Congress. He implies that Congress was just out to, you know, as Kennedy said, as Scalia says, just like, you know, that they hate people. That's the whole reason that the Defense of Marriage Act was passed, which was, of course, passed in overwhelmingly bipartisan Congress and signed by a Democrat, Bill Clinton. But the other thing that jumped out at me, Matt, that I want you to comment on is this idea of promoting homosexual so-called marriage as in the name of children. Because, you know, let me read from the decision here. He said that Kennedy writes that DOMA undermines both the public and private significance of state-sanctioned same-sex marriages, for it tells those couples and all the world that their otherwise valid marriages are unworthy of federal recognition. This places same-sex couples in an unstable position of being in a second-tier marriage. The differentiation means the couple whose moral and sexual choices the Constitution protects, and there he cites Lawrence v. Texas, which was the sodomy decision, which Scalia correctly said would lead to same-sex marriage. He says that DOMA humiliates tens of thousands of children. This is Kennedy writing again. Humiliates tens of thousands of children now being raised by same-sex couples. The law in question makes it even more difficult for the children to understand the integrity and closeness of their own family and its concord with other families in their community and their daily lives. Unbelievable to be promoting homosexual so-called marriage in the name of the children.
Yeah, you know, and that's beyond low to hide behind children to justify something that is just simply not justifiable. And is without precedent. I mean, and is without any historical basis. You know, it's very clear that in especially with dramatic cultural changing decisions like this, they have to be rooted in decades, if not centuries, of tradition and public policy. And no, Lawrence was without precedent. They just suddenly divined a constitutional right for one man to sodomize another man, and now based upon that, as Scalia warned 10 years ago with the Lawrence decision, he said, yep, this is laying the groundwork for a constitutional recognition of so-called same-sex marriage. He has warned about that ever since, and I'm convinced that this is all by design. This is the plan. It's an incrementalist approach on the Supreme Court, and Justice Scalia even addressed it. He said it's very clear, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but by today's decision, that the majority justices here are only willing to push so far that they think from a political standpoint they can get away with. And that's exactly what we see here with Kennedy's inane, there's no other word for it, decision. But Pete, there's a bigger principle at play here, and that is, you know, I wrote a column recently, as you know, entitled "Supreme Court versus Supreme of the Supreme Court versus the Supreme Authority." That the court and Scalia addressed this too. The hubris of even supposing that the Supreme Court has anything to say about the institution of marriage. I sent out a tweet, and I said, in other news, the Supreme Court has ruled in a 5-4 decision that the Earth's gravitational pull is unconstitutional, orders God to reverse it. That's basically what they've done here. To say that somehow that a non-recognition of something that is not recognizable, something that cannot be gay marriage, is unconstitutional is like saying that gravity is unconstitutional. It's an affront to natural law. It's an affront to the moral law, the biological law, physics. That's why I'm saying we've entered into an alternate universe. And unfortunately, if we do not reverse the trajectory that we're on right now, it spells certainly persecution for the faithful, for Christians. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, because on that point, Matt, you've got, if it's true what he says, that all this is motivated by animus and hate, then aren't they going to strike down any law that punishes so-called gay couples, and anything that does. I mean, you could all, if everything we do that in any way harms the interests of the homosexual activist movement, isn't all of that motivated by hate and animus? Isn't our nonprofit status for groups like Americans for Truth and Liberty Council, isn't that at risk because they're going to put us in a league with these vile racists, which is what the homosexual crowd is already doing?
That's exactly what's happening here. They're laying the groundwork. He's inventing precedent where no precedent exists in order to try to lay the groundwork to create a suspect class out of the people who identify as LGBT. A suspect class is legal terminology. It just means a special protected class based on some kind of identifying factor, but there has to be a number of elements in place for that to occur. It has to be an immutable characteristic. That's why we get all the quackery and all the mock science coming out trying to say that has never been established and never been proven, never will, because it's just simply not the case that people are somehow born gay. Has to be an immutable characteristic, has to be a long history of persecution, and they'll be able to establish that with all the, gay only drinking fountains and all the, that we've seen over the years, nonsense. And that there's political powerlessness. Well, are you kidding me? Per capita, the homosexual activist juggernaut is the most powerful lobby probably out there, as we clearly see by this absurd decision.
Well, let's go to the parson. John, what do you say, John Kirkwood, pastor, about this? You know, we're taking God's place. The Supreme Court's taking God's place here.
You know, I like what our friend Calvin Lindstrom tweeted this morning. He said, "I stand with Chuck Schumer, Bill Clinton, Harry Reid, and their radical views from 17 years ago. Does that make me a hater?" Matt, isn't this just a question of you not evolving yet?
Of course. Of course it is. I'm as Kirk and Madsen in 1989 with their book After the Ball, so eloquently laid out, we're going to be portrayed as the KKK and backwoods religious nuts. And yeah, so I just haven't evolved yet. And that's the wonderful thing about being a progressive, I guess, is you get to, morality gets to evolve. It becomes somehow relative. Your own position, it's not a lie. You're not changing your solid position. You're just evolving. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I guess that's the case. I haven't evolved yet. But that goes back to this animus idea that they're laying the groundwork for, Pete. You mentioned you have hit the nail on the head here. This is scary business we're talking about here. If they decide somehow that the LGBT community is a protected suspect class, then Christian schools, Liberty University and other Christian schools, mm-hmm. if gay marriage becomes the law of the land nationally, they will not be able to preclude so-called gay married couples from coming and living on the campus, in the married housing, from nonprofit organizations. We become the modern day so-called racists. They will shut down tax exemption. This is by design. This is their goal. So the battle lines have been drawn. Scripture talks about it as it was in the days of Noah. So it will be. Well, we're there. We've arrived. And I think that this is an opportunity. It may be God, God is sovereign. So he knows what's going on with all of this stuff. I'm speculating here, but I feel like this could be his way of kind of, separating the wheat from the chaff. The line has been drawn. Christians will have to choose. Do I obey God or do I obey Caesar? And when Caesar's laws are in direct violation of God's laws, and it's going to definitely cull the wheat out from the chaff, and I think there will be a strong and fearless remnant left standing. But even the body of Christ, even the church, is going to be divided over this.
Well, Matt, we got a minute before the break here. Where is this headed? What's next? Is this Krautheimer yesterday on Fox said it's definitely going to go national because of this animus line that Kennedy has established? There's going to be lawsuits, of course, gay lawsuits, which will be targeting states like Texas that have constitutional amendments. Isn't that the next step? They'll look for the lawsuit to get the case back there.
It is, and it's going to take longer than a few seconds to unpack that. But let's talk about it on the flip side here. But that's, we're going to be talking about Section 2, which is still in place. The 37 states is still the law of the land. that marriages between a man and a woman. 13 states of the District of Columbia now recognize mock gay marriage. But we could unpack that.
Okay, all right. We're talking. Great. We're talking to Matt Barber with Liberty Counsel and Liberty University School of Law, and Pete LaBarber with Americans for Truth with John Kirkwood here. Our website is AmericansForTruth.com. We'll be right back after the break.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Welcome back to Americans for Truth Hour. We have a special, just small interview here with our good friend Matt Barber with Liberty University School of Law and Liberty Counsel. Matt's a great pro-family activist. You can read his columns at WorldNet Daily. Matt, talk about Justice Kennedy's and this liberal majority on the Supreme Court, their outrageous interpretation of Congress's motives in passing DOMA back in the 90s.
Yeah, it's really unconscionable and offensive, as well as just simply a lie. There's no other way to put it. And they know it's a lie. They know exactly what they're doing. This is a way of trying to lay down precedent. Justice Scalia, in his dissent, I think, painted the picture better than I possibly can. And by citing all this language of hate and bigotry and animus is the key word there. That's the catchphrase from the Romer decision based on the 1992 Amendment 2, Colorado's Amendment 2 case, where the decision Kennedy first, I think, used that word animus, that this is that Amendment 2 was based on animus, hatred, bigotry, which even then was nonsense. But now he's laid the groundwork. Scalia said that essentially, you know, you have now called a Congress in an overwhelming bipartisan majority that passed the Defense of Marriage Act, and President Bill Clinton, the executive branch, who signed it into law. Well, here we have the judiciary saying that was based on bigotry, animus, and they didn't even question whether there were other motives. So here they've laid out a motive that does not exist, a false motive, and ignored all of the legitimate motives that were behind the Defense of Marriage Act.
Okay, let me jump in here a sec, Matt, because I think this is important. You're a legal guy, so you understand this. Most people are never going to read this decision. They're only going to hear, oh, gay marriage, and they're going to go in with it's spreading across the country. Well, what harm is it to me? But what you're saying is these words, like this animus and this desire to harm, that's another phrase that Kennedy used, these are specifically chosen to lay the groundwork for future decisions.
That's exactly right. And so when – now – people, you know, the media, they're just so reckless in their reporting on this. You read articles with headlines like, the Supreme Court strikes down DOMA. Well, no, it didn't. It struck down Section 3 of DOMA that simply says that for purposes of federal recognition for taxing and estate handling and so forth, that marriage is only recognized, as it's always been recognized in this country and around the world for millennia, as between male and female. Okay, so
but let me interrupt you there, Matt. Doesn't that is very important, because now we have, correct me if I'm wrong, the federal government is now enshrining homosexual couples like any other married couples in the federal government, which means all taxpayers, that the federal government is now incentivizing, rewarding homosexual couplings, which means that we as taxpayers, because we all pay federal taxes, are basically subsidizing these immoral relationships. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely, at a tremendous cost to the taxpayer. But that's a side, you know, argument. We could do a whole show on that. But back to the issue of you know, where we stand now, here's a very thin silver lining, and it's very thin and very precarious, and it's one that Kennedy is laying the groundwork to wipe out, and that is that, as it stands, Section 2 of DOMA remains in place. And that is the section that says, you know, the 30-plus states, the 37 states that only recognize natural marriage between a man and a woman with through constitutional amendments or laws, that they do not have to recognize their sister state's radical redefinition of marriage, their recognition of mock marriages. So that's still in place. So there, it's as it is, remains today, DOMA is still in place.
But aren't a large part of the benefits federal? So if a guy gets, if two homosexuals get married in California and then move to Texas, will they, those federal benefits, et cetera, will be valid in Texas, but they won't be recognized per se as married in Texas?
Well, that remains open to interpretation and question. They did not get to that specific issue. If they are married in, well, California, see,
Say New York. They're married in New York. They move to Texas. What happens?
Because there's future litigation in California as to what portions of California, you know, same-sex marriage will now be recognized in. It doesn't even cover the whole state, but that's a, but back to, okay, New York. No, as it stands now, if a gay married couple is living in New York, now in New York, they'll get New York state benefits and federal benefits. If they move to Texas, there is a question as to whether or not their federal benefits will move with them. Certainly, Texas will not give them state benefits. So now, again, they've intentionally set up this disconnect where they move from one state to another. Their marriage, you know, doesn't transfer the state. So this is what they're ultimately getting to, is laying the groundwork to strike down Section 2 and say, ultimately, all states must recognize as unconstitutional based on animus. All states must recognize same-sex marriage. That's what they're laying the groundwork for. They're doing it piecemeal. And so that, when that happens, that's when the real, you know, what we've seen in Washington State and in Colorado, where bakers and photographers and bed and breakfast owners and other small business owners, based on their Christian beliefs, who cannot support or lend their talents and support to something that God calls an abomination, a mortal sin. They can't be complicit in that. They say, nope, you, the full weight of the government will come crashing down on your head, the full weight of the federal government. At that point, right now it's already happening in Washington State. Attorneys general are suing Christians. They're filing charges against them.
Sure. Even right. The liberals have contempt for our belief system and our worldview. So let me just be a cynic here. Could it be that they're just buying a few years? There's going to be these lawsuits that are going to percolate up, and they want a few more years when they'll say, okay, we got to bring order to this chaos. We've got to establish one system. And of course, they never take away so-called rights that they grant, even perverse rights like this. So they'll just, then they'll say, we have to make order out of it. So is that a plausible scenario?
Of course it is. Exactly what they're doing.
And what's our best hope to stop it? Do we need to have a Republican conservative get into the office and appoint a liberal that resigns? Is that our only hope? How do we get out of this?
Well, yeah, that and ultimately people taking a stand and just saying, you know, it may just have to happen, Pete. I hate to be, you know, doom and gloom, but, you know, Scripture is very clear that those who take a stand for truth, who are faithful to the truth of Christ, you know, if they hated him and crucified him, well, you know, how much more are they going to hate us? The real persecution is probably going to happen. I'm not saying it's hopeless, but it's going to be incumbent upon the church now, Catholic, Protestant, Orthodox, to take a stand. We've drawn a line in the sand and said we will not cross this line. And, you know, so yeah, I mean, thinking strategically, absolutely, under the court's current configuration, I believe it's a foregone conclusion. And this is so Alinskyite. I mean, they create chaos,
yeah,
which they've done here, through lawlessness. This is completely lawless. Create the chaos, and then come back around on the flip side and say, well, we have to bring order to this chaos, and then implement what they, you know, what they were trying to do all along. This is very clever. It's very strategic. It's very progressive, And so that's what they're doing. You know, the only hope we, you know, this is the stuff, frankly, guys, that revolutions are made of.
Well, I was thinking, what about say Oklahoma? If they say we will never, okay, let's look ahead a couple years. We will never allow marriage based on anything other than between a man and a woman. I mean, could there be a constitutional crisis here?
Without a doubt. I mean, that's, if they've reached, you know, I can think of one other time when the states and the federal government reached a irreconcilable impasse. If we have a situation where states, Texas, Oklahoma, Virginia, you know, any of the 37 states that refuse to recognize mock marriages, if Justice Kennedy, one man in a black robe making the difference, comes down and says you gotta recognize it, guys. And they say, go ahead and send your army of clerks to make us. You know, and they're fully within their authority to do so. This idea that the United States Supreme Court is the final authority is this oligarchy. What do we even need the other two branches of government for? And Scalia touched on that as well.
Well, let me ask you something about that, Matt, because we've seen a few years ago, Schumer, Hillary, even Barack Obama was against the redefinition of marriage. Excuse me, the Boy Scouts won in the Supreme Court. We still had Don't Ask, Don't Tell, even though that wasn't perfect. Now we've seen this tidal wave, this tsunami of gains that they've had in a handful of states, in the courts. The Boy Scouts, we were hoping they'd stay strong. Then when they didn't, we were hoping that church groups would leave them. Other than the Southern Baptists, the Mormons and the Catholics are dragging their feet. Are we fighting the last battle? Are we in danger of fighting the last battle? Or is the tsunami so much so that we're already living in Mystery Babylon, and maybe we are suffering the same fate of Lot's wife, who's turning around and looking?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I mean, is it Second Chronicles, you know, talked about, you know, we humble ourselves and you know, there's always hope to reverse course. You know, my prayer is that it's just, maybe it's going to have to get really, really, really bad before, you know, revival breaks out and we turn the country around. And that may be the case. You know, we know, you know, Israel was in persecution for, what, 70 years? I mean, you know, sometimes we just have to get through it, and that may be the case as well, and it may get really ugly, and the church may suffer a great deal of persecution. I'm not sure that states like Oklahoma and Texas and will have take the initiative and will have the courage of conviction to stand up and tell the Supreme Court, if it arrives at that, to, you know, that they're just simply not going to do it.
Well, let me jump in on there, Matt. You've already got, Larry Sabato. Hardly you think of him as a Republican conservative, but he's telling the Republicans, hey, forget about this gay marriage issue. Just, you know, embrace this decision and move on. Where do you see the Republicans going?
Oh, well, I mean, the Rhino Republican establishment is, you know, gutless is their middle name. I mean, I have no faith that the GOP is going to stand their ground when things get really shaky. That's what, you know, I hate to be painting such a dire picture here, guys, but I just.
But we have to be realistic. I heard Krautheimer, and I agree. It seems that with this language that Kennedy has laid out, this, I think, very hateful language, I believe it's hateful to say that Matt Barber hates homosexuals because he disagrees with homosexual behavior. That sort of distortion, intentional distortion of your motives, our motives, I believe that in and of itself is hate on the side of the liberals. But if they're establishing all that, I thought the Supreme Court is always striking down state laws, even state amendments. So, I mean, what's going to happen? At some point, they're going to have a constitutional amendment from a red state, and aren't they going to apply the same standard and say, hey, this is, I mean, if they can find discrimination within a state between the couples that get the federal benefits, which would be normal married couples, and those that didn't, the homosexual couples, at some point, they're going to be forced to decide, well, what about this differentiation between couples that get them in one state and another that don't?
Well, sure, that goes back to trying to bring order to the chaos that they have created, and applying the animus card when they feel like it's politically expedient to do so. They know that the country is still polarized on this issue, although the support for same-sex marriage is gaining momentum. They also know that if it's a bridge too far, if they push too far, then the pushback may be more than they can bear. So that's why they're doing exactly as Scalia said, getting away with exactly what they think they can get away with at any present time and space. And so that's what we see they're doing right now. But it's all laying the groundwork to try to take down with future cases that are working their way up to the Supreme Court, Section 2, trying to force all 50 states to recognize counterfeit gay marriage. And then once that happens, essentially, we will see the criminalization of Christianity. It's this issue. They say you deny Christ and you deny God's position on human sexuality. It essentially criminalizes, or at least makes illegal from a civil standpoint, the Judeo-Christian sexual ethic. That's what they're trying to get to. And anybody who stands firm on that sexual ethic and refuses to deny truth will be pushed to the margins, put in a position where they cannot even conduct a living, essentially, and cannot operate in society. And that's ultimately the goal here, to build a razor wire fence around the church. Get all you churchers, get back in there, all you Christians, get in that church and don't you dare come out. You have your freedom to worship for now, but ultimately that's what they're trying to do.
For now, right. All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for giving your time for this interview, and God bless you and all the work that you do. And we'll be watching Liberty Counsel and see what their future course of action is on this very critical Supreme Court decision. Thanks so much, Matt. God bless.
Thanks, guys. Thanks all right. for all you do, man.
Bye-bye.